All right, I want to start with two announcements. We have some exciting things coming up the next 2 months. On March 17th, lead pastors Van and Steph are going to be installed by Reverends Jeff and Nancy Clark. So you want to mark that date. That's March 17th. We also are going to gather for lunch that day. The church is going to be providing ham. So is there a sign up? So there's a sign up sheet out there for all of you to bring your veggies and desserts to share with us. So we'll come, we'll have their installation, and then we'll go downstairs right afterwards with Reverend Jeff and Nancy and our newly installed lead pastors and enjoy a lunch. So please sign up so that we know you're coming. Then the next month, April 21st, we are having a church-wide celebration. So a couple things. 47 years ago, the church became incorporated as Full Gospel Chapel, and we were the little white building down the road here towards Sheets on the left-hand side. And they had met a little bit before that, so we know we're close to 50 years, so we're going to celebrate that. And then I am celebrating retiring after 35 years with CLCC. So we are flying Pastor Karen up to be with us this morning. Yay! So when I talked with her and I said, so I have to work everything out, I have to run this by the elders, and I'll get back to you. And she said, well, I think I'd like to stay with Marty. I said, okay, I'll let you know when I have things finalized. So I called her and I said, hey, I've talked with the elders. We're good. You can go ahead and talk to Marty. She said, oh, I've already talked to Marty. And Marty said, the room is all ready for me. I said, okay. So I was so glad we were able to work everything out. So she's flying up. She'll be here for the whole weekend, but she'll specifically be speaking that Sunday morning. And we're going to talk about what we're going to do for lunch that day. But we'll all eat together with her that day as well. So March 17th, April 21st. And anybody that you know that would like to come to either of those services, they are open to the public. So like Pastor Van and Pastor Steph are going to be inviting extended family members. Anybody that you know that would like to come and hear Pastor Karen, then please invite them out. And they're all welcome to stay for the meals. We just need to know that they're coming. Isn't that exciting? Two things to celebrate over the next 2 months. Yay! So I wanted to prove to you, oh my goodness. So do you remember what Pastor Kurt said? He got up and he said, so are you thirsty? And do you want to have your cup ready? And right here, if you can see it, it says cup of ice and water. Come on. So my sermon illustration is a cup turned the right direction and some water. So, you know, Pastor Kurt and I have served together so many years, I think maybe I should just have him come up and preach my message this morning. So this is my question. He doesn't bother me if he's not actually screaming and yelling. I have 9 grandkids. Come on. I don't care as long as he's not just running all around. Okay. So how thirsty are you this morning? So thirsty has to do with more than just physical thirst, right? So thirsty has to do with how thirsty we are spiritually as well. So I think the little guy is stealing the show this morning. What are you doing? You are just having a great time visiting around. All right. So what was my question this morning? How thirsty are you? In Matthew 5:6, Jesus said, happy are those who are hungry and thirsty for righteousness, because they will be filled. They will be satisfied. So he's actually telling us it's good to be hungry and good to be thirsty, right? Because if you sit down to a meal, you want to be hungry and thirsty. You don't want to sit down to a meal and go, oh, do I have to eat again? Right? But I don't think most of us have that issue, do we? Just to be honest, you know, most of us sit down and we want something to eat. We took Grandma Gibb to Cracker Barrel yesterday. They have this monstrous menu. The meals are so big. Now that Stacy and I have gotten older, we don't quite eat as much. That was a lot to eat. I felt really full. But when I got there, I was hungry, right? And so the question this morning is, how thirsty are we really? So I want you to picture this verse with me, not just hear it, but picture it. Like a deer pants or longs for streams of water. So think about, like, we just go to the sink anytime we're thirsty and get water, right? But if you're an animal, you have to travel to wherever there is a stream. And what if you don't even know where there is a stream? So when you get there, you are longing for a drink. You are thirsty. It says, like a deer longs for streams of water, so my soul longs for you, O God. I thirst for God. So that's the question this morning. Are you thirsty? And is it true that I'm thirsty? And am I aware that that thirst is for God? Sometimes people fill their thirst for God with other things, but we want to fill our thirst for God with them. So today I want to talk to you about the Holy Spirit, who he is, what he does, how he helps us, and how he alone can satisfy our thirst. Nothing else, nobody else. Just the Holy Spirit. So if you'll remember, there's a story in Ezekiel 37 about dry bones. So let me get there. Ezekiel 37. We're not going to read the whole story because I think most of you know the story. Ezekiel 37, verse 1. The hand of the Lord was upon me, and he brought me out by the Spirit of the Lord and set me down in the middle of the valley, and it was full of bones, dry bones. And remember the conversation? The Lord said, look around, see all these dry bones. Can they come back to life? He had the best answer ever. You know, Lord. Okay? Most of the time we don't know, but he knows. And it's not what we can do, but it's what he can do. Okay. Verse 9. Then he said to me, prophesy to the breath. Prophesy, son of man, and say to the breath, thus says the Lord God, come from the four winds, O breath, and breathe on these slain that they may come to life. So I want to let you know that breath of God is the Holy Spirit. And that's what he was prophesying. Go down to verse 13. Then you will know that I am the Lord when I have opened your grave, caused you to come out of your graves, O my people. I will put, listen, my spirit within you, and you will come to life. Come on. We're looking today at what the Holy Spirit does in our lives. You will come to life, and I will place you on your own land. Then you will know that I, the Lord, have spoken and done it. When he brings his Holy Spirit, then we will know that he has done it. However, I want us to remember throughout the message today that the Holy Spirit is much more than just a force. Much more than just breath. Let us press on to know the Lord. He will come to us like the rain, like the spring rain watering the earth. That's Hosea 6. Be glad in the Lord. He has poured out for you the rain, the early and the latter rain. That's from Joel 2. And the men are studying the Azusa Street revival that started out there in Los Angeles and then moved the whole way across the country. And that revival was called the latter rain movement. So he said he'd bring the early and the latter rain. Right? Now, if you want to turn to me with me, Joel 2, those of you that like to follow along. Joel, one of the minor prophets in the Old Testament, chapter 2. I'll give you a minute to go. Okay, Joel 2, 28 and 29. And it shall come to pass after this, listen what God's going to do. I will pour out my spirit on all flesh. Your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. Your old men shall dream dreams. Your young men shall see visions. In those days I will pour out of my spirit. However, the Holy Spirit is much more than just a force. From Zechariah, not by might, not by power, but by... Okay, congregation, let's try that again. Not by might, not by my power, but by my spirit, says the Lord. So that was just a quick glance. We just sort of jumped through a couple places in the Old Testament what it said about the Holy Spirit. So now let's look in the New Testament. So I love this picture. This is Jesus, and he's going down to the water, and he meets John the Baptist, which they knew they were like second cousins or something. And he says, well, I want to be baptized. John's like, yeah, no, you should be baptizing me. And Jesus said, well, it's supposed to happen, so let's allow it to happen. So he takes Jesus out into the water, under the water, back up. Jesus is standing there and he looks up, and what's happening? The Holy Spirit comes down like a dove. Okay, it wasn't a dove. It was like a dove, in the form of a dove, and landed upon him. And then Father God says from heaven, this is my dearly loved Son, who brings me great joy. So this is one of the very few places. The others aren't quite as clear. This is the most clear place in Scripture for the Trinity. If somebody says, well, what's the Trinity? Well, it's a hard concept. Even theologians can't quite grasp it all. They try, but it's a little difficult. But here we see all three persons of the Godhead. So God is made up of Father God. He's the voice from heaven. Jesus the Son. Jesus is in the water. And he says, this is my beloved Son. And then the Holy Spirit had come down and settled on him in the form of a dove. So right there is a snapshot, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. All three are God. All three are persons. So that's what we have to remember when we're talking about the Holy Spirit. Then Jesus was led by the Holy Spirit into the wilderness. And you know what happened in the wilderness. He was tempted. He didn't sin. He triumphantly resisted the temptation that the devil gave him. And then it says he left the wilderness, returning in the power of the Holy Spirit. So the Holy Spirit alighted on him, led him into the wilderness. He conquered there in the wilderness and came out in the power of the Holy Spirit. So what does that mean for you and I? Well, let's investigate that a little more. A few more pictures to help us understand what the Holy Spirit looks like in us and flowing out of us. Jesus said to the woman at the well, if you knew the gift of God and who it is who says to you, give me a drink, you would have asked him, meaning Jesus, and he would have given you living water. Come on. She just had water from a well, but Jesus offers us living water. So then the question is, have you asked Jesus to give you living water? And that living water is the Holy Spirit. But again, the Holy Spirit is much more than a force. He's much more than water. He's much more than a dove. He's much more than breath. John 7:37. I'll give you a minute to turn there. And yes, I am purposely trying to make you all thirsty this morning. John 7:37. Okay, so Jesus stands up in the crowd. Now, first of all, that was a dangerous thing to do because he was wanted. They were trying to find reasons to arrest him. But he stands, and it says he yells out to the crowd, "If anyone is thirsty..." See, Jesus is still asking that same question today. Is anybody this morning thirsty? "Let him..." And this is another one of these verb tenses that mean you keep doing it. Like knock, ask, okay, and seek. Those mean keep knocking, keep asking, keep seeking. This is that same verb form. Let him keep coming to me and let that person keep drinking. It's not a one-time thing. You don't go to Jesus and drink and say, "Okay, I'm done for the rest of my life." You keep coming and you keep drinking. "He who believes in me." Now, come on. We sometimes think way too small and way too little. Jesus said, keep coming to me, keep drinking, and maybe you'll dribble out a little water. No, out of you will flow rivers of living water. Come on. So even if I bring this cup over here to Marlene and Pam, and I decide to dribble it on them, it's going to affect them this morning, isn't it? They're going to look at me like, "What are you doing? I am now wet the whole way down the sleeve." But it didn't affect all of them, did it? But if I had a hose, so my mother has a story about that. You'll have to ask her then. Yeah, if I had a hose and I directed it toward them and soaked them with a hose, which I did to some of my mother's friends at a party. Yeah. Then you are really being affected by what's coming out from me, right? So Jesus didn't tell us to just dribble on people or just take a little bit of water and fling it on them. He said, be so filled with the Holy Spirit that a river will flow out of you and affect everybody around you. So if you have a conversation with somebody, if you're teaching school, I taught STEM class this week, which was very interesting, and then I taught sixth grade health about dating. That was very eye-opening. I told them in the office, thank you for that. I really didn't want to know what sixth grade thought about dating. But the question is, in each of these unique situations you're in, are you so filled and saturated with the Holy Spirit that you just leap on it? Right, Miss Sharon? How many years in the elementary school? 20 or 21 years. Yep. And when she comes back to visit, all the kids are, "Miss Pepper!" Oh, are you? Yeah, they're really glad to see her. So have you asked Jesus to give you living water? Because he said to the woman at the well, if you knew who I was, if you understood what I was capable of, you wouldn't be satisfied with the drink in the bucket that you brought up. You would turn to me and say, Jesus, I want living water. Have you asked Jesus to give you living water? Anyone is thirsty, let him keep coming to me and let that person keep drinking. He who believes in me, from his innermost being shall flow rivers of living water. This he spoke of the Spirit, whom those who believed in him were to receive. The Holy Spirit is much more than a force, much more than a river, much more than water. He is a person. And as we talked about, he is the third person of the Trinity, and he wants to fill you and I up. The Holy Spirit wants to fill us up. He wants to quench our thirst, and he wants to flow out of us so that we're affecting everybody just like a flood of water would have impacted them. So Jesus is talking to his disciples, and he's trying to make sure that they understand that he's going to be leaving and some things are going to be changing. There's going to be a new testament, a new covenant. Things are going to look differently. They're no longer going to have the same relationship with him that they did before, and he's preparing them. John 14. John 14. I'm as guilty of doing this as anybody else. You just take scriptures that you like and pull them out of context. But when you read them in context, they're even much more powerful than they are when you just pull out one or two. So let's start there in verse 12. Truly, truly, I say to you, whoever believes in me will also do the works that I do. Come on. And greater works than these will he do. Why? Because I am going to the Father. Whatever you ask in my name, this will I do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If you ask anything in my name, I will do it. If you love me, you will keep my commandments. Now remember, we're in context here. And I will ask the Father, and he will send you another helper. So how can we do greater things in Jesus? Because the Holy Spirit is inside of us. He will be with you forever, even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it neither sees him or knows him. But you know him, for he dwells with you and will be in you. So at that point, Jesus hadn't died on the cross. He hadn't risen from the dead yet. He hadn't sent the Holy Spirit. So the Holy Spirit was resting upon his followers, but had not yet been inside of his followers. Verse 25. These things I have spoken to you while I am still with you. But the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name. Okay? So I want you to catch that sentence. I spoke these things when I was with you. But the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name. So he hadn't been sent yet. He will teach you all things. Come on. Anytime we need to know something, Holy Spirit's there to teach us. And he will bring to your remembrance all that I've said to you. Because on your own, can you remember everything Jesus said? No, but when you need to remember, Holy Spirit can bring it to remembrance. Peace I leave with you, my peace I give to you. Not as the world gives do I give it to you. Let not your hearts be troubled, neither let them be afraid. Why? Because the Holy Spirit is within us. So Jesus promises to send us the Holy Spirit to be our helper, our support, our comfort, and our teacher. One more thing that Jesus says, John 16. So Jesus said, I'm sending the Holy Spirit. He'll be your helper. He'll be your support. He'll be your comfort. And he'll be your teacher. John 16, verse 13. Are you thirsty this morning, and are you getting thirsty? John 16, 13. John 16, 13. When the Spirit of truth comes, he will guide you into all the truth. For he does not speak on his own authority, but whatever he hears, here's what? Here's from Father. He will speak and he will declare to you the things that are to come. He will glorify me. This is Jesus speaking. For he will take what is mine and declare it to you. All that the Father has is mine. Therefore, I said that he will take what is mine and declare it to you. So how thankful are you that Jesus said, it's good that I go away, because if I go away, I'm sending the Holy Spirit. All right, so let's pause here and think, because now we want to apply this to ourselves. Jesus told us why the Holy Spirit was coming. He told us that he was going to go to the Father, and he was going to ask the Father to send the Holy Spirit. He now dies on the cross, now resurrected, and he's talking to his disciples now before he leaves to return to heaven. And he said, wait for what? Wait for what the Father had promised. What did the Father promise? You heard this of me, for John baptized in water, but you shall be baptized with the Holy Spirit in just a few days. Okay, so baptized means that you're saturated with. The Greek word was picturing a ship at the bottom of the ocean, completely just saturated with water. And that's why we prefer to baptize by immersion, because you're going under the water and coming back up. So Jesus is saying, I'm going to go to the Father. I'm going to say, Father, send the Holy Spirit down to my disciples. And when the Holy Spirit comes, he wants to baptize them. So again, that doesn't mean just a sprinkle. Doesn't even mean a pour. There's some situations where we have to do a pour. Okay, I did one on my, I don't know how old she was, maybe 90-year-old aunt. She's like, yeah, I'm not going to be able to get in the water and out of the water. And so we put drapes around her and we did a pouring. But if you even picture the Holy Spirit being poured out upon you, okay, you need to picture a pretty big bucket. It says baptized in the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit, Jesus said, was on you, but now he's going to be in you. So we're not just talking about it pouring off of you physically. We're talking about it going inside, filling you up to the point that it's a river. Come on. Come on, come on. Keep coming and keep drinking. Jesus said, when he comes, you will receive power and you will be my witness. Jesus didn't just say you will witness. That's part of it. But you will be empowered to be my witness. Come on. That means a change in how you speak, how you act, how you influence. All right. We are going somewhere with this, and the plane is starting to circle the airport. Stacy and I went to Puerto Rico a couple weeks ago. It was combination anniversary, Christmas, and Valentine's Day. We said we'll take those three holidays, not spend anything, not go anywhere, save all that money and go. So we were flying in and we were to have a 40-minute layover. Now, if anybody's done that, 40 minutes is a little short, but you can make it. So we're coming in to this airport and our plane is late. And it was supposed to land. Like the airport had wings A, B, C, D, and E, right? It was supposed to end in C, and we were to get to E. So that wouldn't have been too bad. We were heading in, and he goes, folks, stay seated, stay buckled up, we're going to have some turbulence. This guy does not like turbulence because he does not like a roller coaster, right? So you feel the plane go up, and then the plane goes down, and then the plane goes up. So we're getting ready to land, and we end up having to circle 3 times. So we're waiting, and I'm thinking, We had 20 minutes. Now we have 10 minutes. Now we have 5 minutes. And they say, okay, we needed to tell you that because of all the shuffling with the storm and all the plane circling, you're now an A. And we had to get to E. So any of you that know Stacy, she has asthma. So I said, okay, honey, I'm going to run through the airport, get to E. It was like E12 when we came in A3, right? Like how much further apart could you be? And I'll let them know you're making your way through the airport so they don't take off. We made it. Just barely, but we made it. We thought for sure we were going to spend the night there in North Carolina, both not be able to go to work the next day. But Jesus told them to wait for what the Father was going to pour out, right? And when the day of Pentecost had come, they were all together in one place. And suddenly, there came from heaven a noise like a violent rushing wind. Remember, the Holy Spirit is much more than a force, so he's much more than just wind. And it filled the whole house where they were sitting in the upper room there. And there appeared on them tongues as of fire. Okay? Holy Spirit like wind, Holy Spirit like fire, but much more than that. And the fire rested on each of them. They were all, what's the word? Filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak with tongues as the Spirit was giving them utterance. Verse 14. So they were speaking with tongues, and if you've ever been in third world countries, there's very few windows. Glass in the windows is what I should say. A lot of them just have bars at the door, a few bars at the window. Roofs, people meet on the roofs. So anyway, you hear everything. So these people were in the upper room. They all started celebrating, speaking in tongues. The whole crowd that was there for the Pentecost celebration. So Pentecost was a celebration before this happened, okay? But now we celebrate it because of the Holy Spirit coming. But they heard them and they're like, just listen at that noise up there, and they're just speaking garbling sounds that we can't understand. So Peter goes down and, walking around and my pages are turning on me. Verse 14. Peter, taking his stand with the 11, raised his voice and declared to the crowd, men of Judea and all who live in Jerusalem, let it be known to you, give heed to my words. These men are not drunk as you suppose. It's only 9 a.m. But this is what was spoken through the prophet Joel. See, we read that earlier. It will come about in the last days, God says, that I will pour forth of my Spirit on all mankind. Your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, your young men shall see visions, and your old men shall dream dreams. So Peter is saying, remember what it said in Joel? This is that. It's happening right now. Jesus went to the Father. Father sent the Holy Spirit. They were baptized in the Holy Spirit. And now they're demonstrating that by speaking in tongues. So what's that mean for you and I? Is that just saying, oh, that's nice. That was just Jesus' disciples. Nope. That's for you and I. How do I know that's for you and I? Oh, well, I'm glad you asked that. Or I'm glad you were wondering that. Because we are going to look at Acts 10. And after Acts 10, we are going to stop and pray. So I am landing the plane. So very interestingly, a group of God-fearing, non-Jewish people wanted to hear more about Jesus. And so God, without telling the whole story, God prepared Peter to go with them to their house. And Jews aren't allowed to do that. But this is New Covenant now, isn't it? And so Peter agrees to go. And Cornelius gets all his friends and family together because they want to hear what Peter has to say about Jesus. And it says that Peter told them about Jesus, his death and resurrection, and that believing in him would result in their sins being forgiven. So we're going to pick up the story in verse 44. Acts 10:44. While Peter was still speaking these words. See, I love that because accepting Jesus is something you do in your heart. Now, we sort of changed it to you have to come forward. You have to pray an exact prayer. If you miss any of the words in the prayer, then we have to wonder whether you were saved or not. Yeah, no. You just have to make the decision in your heart. So they heard about Jesus, why he died, how God rose him from the dead, and that if they believe in Jesus, their sins could be forgiven. What did these God-fearing people do? In their hearts, they said, Jesus, I want that. I believe in you, and I ask that you forgive me of my sins. And how do I know that? Okay. While Peter was still speaking these words, the Holy Spirit fell, come on, upon all those who were listening to the message. And all the Jewish believers who came with Peter, because the gift of the Holy Spirit had been poured out on the non-Jewish believers. For they heard them speaking with tongues and exalting God. So Peter said to the Jewish believers who came with him, surely no one can refuse the water for these to be baptized, listen, who have received the Holy Spirit just as we did, or in the same fashion as we did. What's he talking about? The day of Pentecost. Okay? We were all together. Holy Spirit came, filled us. We were baptized in the Holy Spirit like Jesus promised. Now, these non-Jewish believers, the same thing happened to them. Who's a non-Jewish believer? Come on, that's all of us sins. Okay, I don't know that any of us are Jews. We could be, but most of us are Gentile believers. But either way, come on, we qualify. Okay, because we are believers in Jesus. And he ordered them to be baptized in water in the name of Jesus, and they asked him to stay a few days. All right, so easy question, easy answer today. Are you thirsty? What did Jesus say? If you are thirsty, come to me and keep coming. Drink and keep drinking. So that's what we're going to do today. That's right, Pastor Kurt. You lost your almost team back there, so you are playing the song today. Thank you. So let's stand. And if you need to sit back down, you can sit back down. But Jesus said, come to me. Now, I know you can come to Jesus in your seat. And if you choose to do that, that's fine. But most of us are distracted by people around us. And when we want to come to Jesus, we want to come up front. So the front's open. If you want to come up front or step out in the aisle, kneel at your seat, sit in your seat. As we just heard with Cornelius's crew, it doesn't matter as long as it's a heart-to-heart, spirit-to-spirit conversation with Jesus. We're going to ask him to come and baptize us, fill us to overflowing with the Holy Spirit, to the point that rivers of the Holy Spirit flow out of us as we leave this place this morning, so that we impact others for the kingdom of God. When the Holy Spirit comes upon you, you will receive power to be my witnesses. Who wants to be a witness? Me. All right, so let's do business. Jesus, we come to you today and we admit I am thirsty. I want more of the Holy Spirit. You promised that if we came to you and drank, you would give us living water. That the Holy Spirit would just fall upon us, be poured out on us, and we would be filled, saturated to overflow. So I give you permission, Holy Spirit, to come in such a way that you will just pour out of me after this time with you today. Jesus, baptize us in the Holy Spirit. You promised, and as the Father said.
God, we want it now. I don't know about you, but I'm sensing this. Oh God, we need it. Tonight.
We're hungry.
Yes, Lord.
We're